Fall's coming, the days are getting shorter, and that has here now resident chef Kathy Gunst thinking about comfort food. She joins us in the studio, and Kathy, you emailed Jeremy and I and asked us our favorites. My response was variations on the two words mashed potatoes.
Yes, you were very clever with that.
But we're going to hear Jeremy's. But comfort food does mean different things to different people.
Oh, absolutely. I put out a call on Facebook. I said, no judgment. There's no wrong answer. But what's your go-to with comfort food? A lot of people are feeling very unsettled about things these days. And what do you go to? And it was fascinating. The results, I got over 300 responses.
Really?
Very scientific, you know, study here. But the responses broke down as follows. There was what I call the nostalgia favorites. Mm-hmm. There was the, this is what my mom cooked for me when I was sick favorites, like tea and toast or a baked potato or boiled rice. And then there were all my friends who grew up in other countries. You know, for instance, Chinese friend who said it has to be dumplings, a Dominican friend who said fried yellow plantains, Japanese friend said must be ramen, Italians will go for risotto, on and on, Indians, yeah. dosa and dal. But the number one response was pasta. Had to be pasta. But Jeremy's answer was quite interesting.
I have a little bit of a weird one.
Do tell.
I have a bunch of brothers and sisters, and when we were growing up, we were in France one summer, and my parents said, we're going to take all the kids to McDonald's, and then my mom and my dad are going to go out to dinner. And I said, I don't want McDonald's. I want to go out with you guys. And I had a Coq au vin. And then after that, I made my mom make me a Coq au vin every year on my birthday, which is in the summer, by the way. So it makes no sense, but that's
what
mine is.
Such an ordinary
child. And you have made me one here today.
I did. Well, when I heard...
But for people saying, what
is Coq au vin? Right. It is a chicken in red wine, and you use almost an entire bottle of red wine.
Jeremy, you're always so different.
No wonder he was such a happy child. It was only a bottle of red wine.
Exactly.
So I did. I made you Coq au vin with sweet onions, three or four different types of mushrooms, a little bit of bacon because you got to have that extra flavor. Mm. And it's a stew. And so you don't need a knife to eat it, which is a wonderful thing about
falls
it.
Falls right off the bone.
Falls off the bone, baby. Right. That's what you're looking for.
Wow.
Yep, absolutely.
Rich.
Yes, it is rich food. And on top of your mashed potatoes, it's a rather lovely combination.
Perfect. Yep. You see, Jeremy, this is
good. Very good Coq au vin.
You too.
Very
good. Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, and a team, because again, the mashed potatoes goes with that.
What a team you two are.
But,
absolutely.
You know, mashed potatoes, stay there for a second.
Yes.
Because
I'll stay there forever, Robin.
You obviously did something because yours are white. What's up with that?
What do you mean they're white? What color are yours?
I put the skin in it.
Oh, well, that's nice because there's good fiber and that's good for you, but I do not. What? I like a fluffy, all I do is peel them, cut them in half, put them into boiling water until they're really tender. And then this is really important. You want to really drain them well. And then when you add the dairy, it should be warm. You don't want to splash cold milk or heavy cream or whatever you're using. And, of course, there's just a little itty-bitty tiny bit of butter in there.
Like a container.
So how do you go wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another favorite from people was soup, a subject that I am very fond of. I wrote a soup cookbook, but from chicken soup with matzo balls to Greek friends that talked about
Kavgalemono.
Exactly, to hot and sour soup, on and on.
Tomato.
Soup came up. Tomato was also big, and what a great time of year to do tomato soup because they're still in the markets, they're still fresh, and you're kind of craving local fresh food, but you also want soup.
Okay, now
popcorn.
Yes.
Popcorn was really big.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God, I don't feel like cooking, but I need something. Give me a big bucket of popcorn.
I mentioned to you also my mother's tuna casserole, which I found the recipe decades later from one of her only good housekeeping cookbook. And it was like canned soup and
everything from a can, potato chips
on the top. But you have mac and cheese here.
I do. And this is not your mother's mac and cheese. This has three different types of pretty lovely cheese. And it's got a very creamy sauce. And it also has a panko breadcrumb, fresh thyme, and Parmesan topping.
It is not my mother's.
Tell you something else. I mean, nobody in these over 300 people said, oh, I really crave a salad, or I really crave steamed veggies. This is not about the health food. This is like, I need comfort now. And carbs were the number one food.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think when things get rough that food is so helpful to all of us?
Well, there's a whole lot of explanations for it. I was fascinated to read about a psychologist talking about the opioids that are released when we eat fats and sugars. Mm. So there is a chemical reaction that goes into comfort food. Some call it stress eating. But sugars and fats release an opioid in our brain that mimic the effect of many terrible drugs. So it's a lot healthier for you. But I think we just crave that comfort of childhood and home. We're looking for something that's going to bring us back to a time that was maybe simpler and also a time when you just felt well fed.
Yeah, when that would be France and Coco Van.
Yes. Yes. And Jeremy and his bottle of wine.
And we will put all these recipes at delicious. Our website, hereandnow.org, so you can have some comfort food, even if it's one that has a connection more to me and Robin. But there you go, hereandnow.org. Kathy Gunst, thank you.
Thank you so much.